This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at freshbooks.com/talks. In this interview, it's all about Vietnam, North to South, with Ralph Velasco. Hey, I'm sitting here with my good friend, Mr. Ralph Velasco. Ralph is a world traveler extraordinaire. Ralph has been to more than 60 countries multiple times around the globe. I don't think he's been to the moon yet, but he's been been to quite a few places, probably more places than I'll ever get to in what's left of my time on the planet. But I wanted to do this interview for a couple of reasons. You may have heard on This Week in Photo that I'm leading an adventure to Vietnam in a couple of months in November here. And I wanted to talk about that trip as well as the trip that I initially went to Vietnam with Ralph last year in November. And now I'm leading the trip this year. So I wanted to just talk about that whole flow. I want to talk about some of the things that travelers to the Southeast Asian region can, what you can expect, kind of things to look out for, packing, just all that kind of good stuff. And Ralph is the guy that has been through the fire a couple times and can speak to it with a high level of authority. Ralph Velasco, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, great to be back. Nice to see you, Frederick.
Yeah, nice to see you as well, man. So, yeah. Once you travel with someone, you sort of form a bond, right? We've traveled together, we've hung out, we've had drinks in strange bars in Southeast Asia. So we've gone to battle together, I feel like.
It's three good. Long weeks together.
Was it only three? It seemed like six. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. No, it was great. I wish it could have gone on much, much longer than that. Yeah. But let's talk about that. So last year, you and I, we went on an excursion to Vietnam, and you were leading this group. I was one of the group. I was kind of your assistant auditor of the adventure. Tell us about that trip and why you decided to build a trip like that in Vietnam.
You know, I've done several trips to Cambodia over this past 4 or 5 years. And so I decided that I was looking to increase the breadth of our portfolio of locations. And so after a trip to Cambodia in 2014, I scouted Vietnam for last year's 2015 trip that you came on.
Yeah.
And so it just made sense logistically, geographically to expand there. And it's a country I've always wanted to go to. And I had a really great tour operator there. And so that's really one of the most important things is to have a really good partner on the ground there who can help us put together these trips.
And that's the scary thing for a lot of travelers is, you know, you want to go to these exotic places but you want to be safe. You want to make sure you don't go down the wrong alley. You want to make sure that you're eating in the right places. And that's where the tour guides come in, right? They kind of smooth the way and make sure everything is good for you to come in and have a good time, right?
Oh, for sure. If you've got a good local tour operator, especially tour guides, if people are traveling on their own, I highly recommend hiring a local guide to take you around. It's especially in this region of the world, it's very inexpensive to do so. You know, maybe $70 to $100 a day. And you can get someone that could help you with the language, the culture, the customs, keep you out of trouble, show you places that you'd never find on your own. Definitely highly recommend that. But, you know, we've had a really good partner over there in our tour operator. And so developed this trip, Vietnam North to South, where we start in the north, capital of Hanoi, and kind of work our way down the coast to Saigon and the Mekong Delta. So to me, it's a really fabulous region. And the food's off the charts. The photo opportunities are virtually endless.
Yeah. There's just so much to do there, which is why I'm looking forward to going back again this year, because there's just so much to do and so much to shoot. It's vibrant and it's, you know, it is a paradise for photographers. You know, it's like you can't point your camera in a direction and not get an interesting photo over there. So Vietnam versus Cambodia in terms of the differences between your experiences at each one of those places, what are the main differences between the two?
In my opinion, I think that Cambodia is, to generalize, maybe Vietnam 10 or 15 years ago. So it's not quite as developed. Vietnam's got a very developed economy. It's sort of this cross between communism and capitalism. And I know that countries like Cuba, I think, would really like to emulate that system. Kind of the best of what, best of what they consider the best of both worlds. But Cambodia, the food is different, but can be somewhat similar. I just love the people there. I love the people in both countries, but Cambodia, just Vietnam 10 or 15 years ago, a little bit less developed and a little more raw, but still, we have great boutique hotels and a great partner there as well.
So in Vietnam, what are some tips, like, so for people that are planning on or even some of the people that are coming on the trip that I'm leading in November, what are some tips that you would give those folks to, as you get into the country? These are the things that you need to pay attention to, whether it be, the food and water versus clothing. What are some top line tips that you would tell anyone that is going to that country for the first time?
Well, in general, going anywhere on any of our trips, I'd say pack light. Pack a lot less than you probably think you need. I think you learned that lesson last year.
I did.
The old adage is, have your bag out the night before your trip, take out 50% of your stuff, and bring twice as much money, and you'll be fine. I don't think anyone's ever said, "I wish I would have packed more." For Vietnam, my basic kit is like one pair of long pants, two shorts, five or six shirts, of course, underwear and socks, and I'll do laundry in the sink once in a while. It's very inexpensive to have laundry done there by the hotels. So pack light so that you're not dragging around a bunch of a weight that's going to weigh you down. And I'm a one body, one lens kind of photographer. So I like to have a fairly good size zoom lens. On my Panasonic Lumix GX8, I use the 14 to 140. So yeah, came as a good recommendation from a good friend of mine, you. And when I do shoot with my SLR, it's my 24 to 120 on a full frame camera. So it's a fairly similar range.
Do you bring both of those on all your trips, both
I
cameras?
bring I bring now I bring the SLR as a backup along with that lens. It's a fixed 4, 24 to 120, but I shoot 100% with the GX8 now, and that's only in case something were to happen to that camera. I've got a backup, so I'm not completely out of luck. I do shoot quite a bit with my iPhone as well. A lot of video, time lapse, slow motion. I mean, it's just incredible what you can do with these devices now.
Yeah, it is crazy what you can do. And people discount the iPhone, thinking that, it's just a phone. And that's a remnant, I think, of progress, because phones, the cameras and phones used to not be good, right? Back in the day, they were like, I used to say on the show, even like 5 years ago, that the phones and the cameras were a detriment to real photography, because they used to trick photographers into thinking that they had a camera with them, and then you go out and you take these images and they're garbage because the camera was garbage and you don't have a good photo. But nowadays, that's not the case anymore. You can make some outstanding galleries type images with just your iPhone and processing software that's in the phone, right?
And you could share it right from the device. The iPhone itself is probably my most versatile piece of travel gear that I have, and maybe this number two to my passport that I would bring with me.
Yeah, your passport and global entry, right? Which, by the way, I am now global entry, just for the
Wow,
record.
fantastic. All
Yes, I
right.
had my appointment about 3 weeks ago, and
Right.
I'm in the
Well, don't spread
club.
the word.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, Rob, let's talk a little bit about gear. So one of the things that I hit last year was, what should I bring with me? And again, I ended up bringing too much stuff, because you think, oh, well, I need my laptop. What if I want to edit my photos? And then There's my phone. I have that. I absolutely need my phone. And then there's iPad. What if I want to read in bed and that sort of thing? And then there's power adapters for all these things. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And cables to connect them so that they can charge. And, you know, you end up with a rat's nest. What do you do as a seasoned traveler? What do you bring with you?
Well, because I'm on the road internationally over 9 months a year, I've always got my laptop with me, and I've got a 15-inch MacBook Pro. So that's, you know, that's my workhorse. I've always got that. That helps me to be able to do business. I do bring an iPad mini. I've got my iPhone 6 right now. I'm hoping to upgrade to the 7 when that comes out. You know, as far as cords go, it's the same Lightning cord that, you know, works for both of those devices. So you could bring just one. I tend to bring two in case one gets lost or, you know, something happens to it. But that helps there. And then you, of course, you do need your charger for your laptop. What I always recommend is just having in Vietnam, you just need that one 2-prong Euro style plug adapter, which works in about 90% of the countries that I go to. Then you plug a power strip into that, and I make some recommendations for that. They're $15-$20 at the most. You don't want one of those super cheap ones for like the computer under the desk, because I've burned those out before. It's nice to have one that has a surge protector built in, maybe a couple of USB ports.
And
then I plug that into the 2-prong adapter, and now I've got 3 or 4 or 6 US style plugs for all my devices. So I only have to worry about, you know, plugging in once. If you're rooming with another photographer or someone else who's got all these different devices, it's going to help to, you know, have, because I've been in rooms where there's one outlet. And, you know, if you don't have that power strip, you're going to fill up the outlets pretty quickly. And you can be a hero at the airport when you, you know, try to plug in and everything's all filled up at all these stations that they have there. And you just ask someone, would you mind if I unplugged your device and plugged in my 6 outlet power strip? And now you're making friends.
Now it's a party.
Exactly.
Yeah, the one thing I would add on to that power thing is, and I've been doing this just traveling around the U.S. for conferences and such, but I typically bring an extension cord as well, because you never know where that outlet is going to be, and it may not be in a good place for where you want your gear to be. So if you just bring a nice extension cord with you along with your power adapter and all that, then you're good to go, because now you have power wherever you need it and as much as you need within the room, and it doesn't take up that much space to bring that.
Why don't you just go one step further and bring your own generator?
I was going to bring a generator, but then you got to bring gas, and customs just, you know, it's not a good scene going through customs. They frown upon bringing flammables through customs.
So, it's only 3 ounces or less.
Yeah. It's like Mr. Global Entry revoked for life. So lots of stuff, man. So one camera, you say one camera and one lens, the GX8 and what and that the zoom that you bring with you, and then the backup. Why not bring a backup Micro Four Thirds camera? Why the larger DSLR?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's really just a, you know, financial thing. I've got the DSLR. I know how to use it. I you know, I've always worked with Nikon products. I know that you have too.
Yeah.
I just haven't bucked up and got the backup of the Micro Four Thirds, but you know, you certainly could do that, and it would be even less space for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so what I bring, I'm bringing the GX8. I think I brought the GX8 last year.
Yeah.
So bringing the GX8, and then for a backup, I'll probably either bring a G7, or I'm hoping to get my hands on a GX85 before the trip, and that I'll have both of those cameras. So if one fails, I'll have, you know, the other camera. The other trick for me, one of the main reasons why I shoot with Lumix, because one of the main reasons I like the operating system. So the operating system kind of clicks with the way my brain works, and it's so customizable. So I can, because I'll have multiple cameras with me or two cameras with me, I can configure both identically. You know, they're both will be identical. So, you know, I won't have to be like, well, this one, where's the button for that and all that. Everything is exactly the same on both, so I can just hit the ground running. And I believe both cameras use the same battery as well. Don't hold me to it, but I think they use the same battery, so I don't have to worry about multiple sizes of batteries and different chargers and all that. Yeah, it keeps it really clean and simple, which is important, especially on trips like this, as I'm learning. One of the main things, like I said earlier on a different call we were on, that I took away from last year was pack light. You know, pack light. And it's going to be tough this time, Ralph, because I want to bring my drone with me. I've been doing a lot of research on drone flight in Vietnam, and it's perfectly legal. In fact, you know, tons of people are flying drones around Vietnam. But the transit situation is, I think, my main concern. So packing light, the drone has its own bag. That's one bag. Then I'll have a carry-on. Right. So I'll have my stuff. So how do I get small enough so I can not check a bag, or do I just bite the bullet and check a bag? This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. Okay, small business owners, it is time to be honest about how you feel when dealing with your day-to-day admin work. You're like me, admit it, you can't stand it, it's a total grind. And the truth is, over 5 million small business owners felt exactly the same way until they discovered FreshBooks. FreshBooks is the simple cloud accounting software that's transforming how small business owners handle their paperwork. And some of the cool features in FreshBooks are things like invoicing. Using FreshBooks, you can create and send an invoice that takes about 30 seconds to create. There are no formulas or formatting, just perfectly crafted invoices every single time. You can even brand your invoices with your own logo. You can send reoccurring invoices. You can even attach receipts. Another one of my favorite features in FreshBooks is project deposits. Using this handy feature, it allows you to invoice for a payment up front when kicking off a project. You can also import expenses automatically. I use project deposits for things like partial payments before I take off on a plane on a trip for a talk or some sort of workshop. I can request a partial payment up front. That way my costs are covered in terms of travel and hotel expenses, and I don't have to come out of pocket for anything. I also use it for online payments, which makes it really easy to bill your clients. Your clients can pay you online, which means you end up getting paid a lot faster. You can also set up auto payment reminders and snap photos of receipts. And lastly, one of my favorite features is insights. Now this is really cool, because FreshBooks will show you whether or not a client has looked at the invoice you mailed. No more, I didn't get that invoice you sent, or I haven't looked at it yet. You will be able to tell when and where they looked at your invoice. This is a really, really powerful feature. This is only a fraction of what FreshBooks can do for you. I think you owe it to yourself to feel the full effect of FreshBooks on your small business. And getting started is simple, and it's totally free for 30 days. Just go to FreshBooks.com/talks, and don't forget to enter talks, that's T-A-L-K-S, in the How Did You Hear About Us section. You can start your 30-day free trial today, and I'd like to personally thank FreshBooks for their support.
Yeah, because some of the airlines are pretty stiff on one carry-on with a personal item.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, you can have that carry-on bag and then, you know, a laptop bag, or for a woman, a purse or something. Yeah. But to have a, you know, another like drone backpack could be an issue.
Well, the drone backpack, the cool thing about the one I have, it's the it's from Think Tank, and it's the Airporter. I think it's called the Airporter, but it's actually the drone, and all the drone accessories fit in it. But also my mirrorless camera stuff goes in there too. So all the both bodies, lenses, chargers, everything goes in that one bag. So my carry-on, I'd have another bag. So in the carry-on would be my clothing and a smaller bag that I can take my camera gear out of and then go on excursion with when I don't want to bring the drone. Right. So I think it should work. I'm gonna run through the paces and make sure everything is good. Test it out. I don't want any surprises. No surprises. So cool. So you know, I mentioned in the beginning that you've been on multiple trips. You've been around the world, at least 60 countries, right? And I asked you this question while we were in Vietnam. I'm gonna ask you again for the record, you know, on YouTube, permanent. Where is your favorite place to travel and why? And why?
Well, my stock answer is the next place.
All right. Yeah. You should run for office.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, that's the easy answer. But, you know, there's there's so many different places that I love for so many different reasons. So, you know, there might be Iceland for the landscapes. There might be Cambodia for the people, might be Vietnam for the food. Overall destinations, Cambodia, Vietnam. I really enjoy Cuba. Mm-hmm. Spain is one of my favorites. I speak the language. I love the food and culture there.
Nice.
I call Spain the other Italy because it's sort of the unsung Italy because, you know, Tuscany and parts of Italy have a lot of, you know, the name cachet where Spain doesn't get a whole lot of press, but it's a fantastic country. So,
yeah, a lot of I'm seeing you as like a Barcelona or Ibiza type person. Is that right?
I've never been to Ibiza, and I'm more of a Madrid than Barcelona. But I do love the northern part of Spain as well.
Very cool. Okay, so the flip side of that is, where would you probably not like to go back to immediately?
You know, there's been a few places that I've gone to that I thought, well, you know, I don't know that I need to come back here. And I would still go back and give them another try. But I've been to Belgrade, Serbia, and I enjoyed it. But it wasn't a place that just completely knocked my socks off. And I was just in the capital. So yeah. I had not been anywhere else in Serbia. But where else? It's hard to think where I would not want to go back to because
everything's different, right? It's all, they all have their own pluses and minuses, right?
And it's different when you go back. So I'll go back to Belgrade and it might be the best country, you know, ever, you know, 8 years later or whatever it's been. So you just never know. And I never discount any place and always willing to give them another shot. And I'll try anything twice.
So you are on the road. You said 9 months out of the year. How do you do that? Like most people that are watching this, I would say maybe not most, but a lot of people that are watching this have day jobs, right? So they're like, well, I got to work all the time. How do you get 9 months off? How do you?
I'm not on vacation. I'm not taking 9 months off. I have a day job.
Life,
and a night job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only work half days, but 12 hours is enough, you know?
Yeah. I like that.
No, I mean, yeah, this is my job, and I'm very lucky. It's, one of the great jobs that there is, but I'm on the road 9 months, and that means I'm away from family. Now, I don't have I'm not married. I don't have any children, so, but it makes it hard to have a relationship. You know, not a whole lot of women, that are knocking down the doors to be with someone who's around 3 months out of the year, you know, 10 days at a time here and there. Yeah. So, in that sense, it can be lonely, but, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I'm not going to do this for the 20 years. I absolutely will be traveling until I die, but hardcore 9 months out of the year, that'd be difficult to do, when you're 75, 80. But I've been doing it full time for about 8 years now, and I love it. I love to be on the road. I don't miss stuff. I was on I went location independent about 3 years ago. I used to live in Southern California, and again, I was there 3 months out of the year, 10 days at a time here and there, and I finally decided this is silly to pay rent somewhere for 12 months when you're there for 3 months.
Yeah.
And so I sold and got rid of 90% of my stuff and actually moved my business back to Illinois, where I'm from. And now I kind of base my operations out of my mom's house. And
that's your mailing address for the most part.
Right? Exactly. And otherwise, I mean, what's not to love about living in wonderful boutique hotels and Airbnbs around the world. And I'm leaving for Romania next week, and I'll be there for about 17, 18 days. And in between, I'll have 6 days in Ljubljana, Slovenia before my Adriatic trip. And that's one of my favorite little towns. And, I'll be able to live like a local at an Airbnb right in the center. So, it obviously doesn't make sense to fly back for 6 days.
Yeah.
And so I'll just stay over there and enjoy it and get some work done. And So I'll be gone for about 6 weeks. I'm back for, I think, 3 days, and I'll see you out in New York for the Out of New York conference.
Yeah.
I think I'm back for 10 days, and then I go to India for 3 weeks to scout there. Right from there, I go to Prague, Bratislava, and Budapest to scout for a Central European Christmas markets trip that I'll do next year.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty great stuff. So it can be tiring, but
I was going to say, it sounds exhausting. Do you ever get to a point where you're like, you know what, I just want to hang out for a couple months and not go anywhere.
Sure. I would love to do that. But I'd love to just hang out, you know, in Europe or in Cambodia somewhere. But it does get tiring. And the worst part of the travel is the travel. It's the getting there and back. Right. Yeah. Those 14-hour flights. But once you're there and you get over the jet lag and now you're on that time zone, you know, I could just travel forever.
Yeah.
But it's the airplane lines and TSA and all that stuff that really, really gets to you and really gets old.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to end on that. So just the transit piece of it and going through customs almost constantly. Are you flagged, you know, because I remember I did a bunch of travel. I think I was flying back from Mexico, and then I had another trip to Canada, and I came back. So I was all over North America. And on one of those trips, you know, you go through the automated passport thing, you know, it flagged me and said, oh, I got to go see a customs agent. I'm like, oh, what did I do? Yeah. You know, so I go to the customs agent. He just looked at my passport, asked me a couple questions, and then let me go through. But that was it. I had no, they gave me no explanation of why I couldn't go through the normal way. I'm wondering, do you ever get hit with things like that? And, or, you know, any kind of weird customs stories?
No, not really. I'm pretty lucky. I've got a, you know, very clean record. And, so I've never been flagged or put on any lists that I know of, not been stopped. Once in a while, like you go to Mexico and you have to hit that button and it comes up green or red.
Yeah.
So I think that's just a random thing. Mm-hmm. But I just got back from Mexico last week and you know, I came up green, so no problem. But, you know, once in a while that stuff happens or they'll want to go through my things a little bit more. But I kind of slip in and out pretty good. So
I'm thinking they may have flagged me because of the drone that I was flying with.
Okay.
And it's my carry on, you know? So I'm thinking there's a drone and then there's the batteries in there. It's, you know, it could look a little nefarious, but maybe. It's, you know, it's like one step away from a toy. So come on. But I am bringing that drone to Vietnam. I want to see the footage. My goal is to fly it over Ha Long Bay in Vietnam and get aerials of Ha Long Bay. And I won't be the first. You know, there's been hundreds of people that have done that already. So it's not like it can't be done. People go out on the boat, like we'll be going out on the boat on Ha Long Bay when I take the team out there. And I will fly it off of the boat, get aerials, and then come land on the boat and... You know, it's all good.
That's gonna be great. So tell me some of the other highlights that you're looking forward to on that trip?
Oh, so I'm looking forward to, there's so much. So the food, for one, I'm looking forward to, you know, what was it in the city of the where all the lanterns were? What was the town?
Hoi An.
Hoi An. Thank you. It escaped me. So in Hoi An, I don't feel like I got enough photos there. There's so many photo opportunities there. I think it may have rained one night or something. So when I was planning to go out and shoot, I couldn't shoot. But I'm looking forward to going back there, getting shots. I'm looking forward to doing some more illustrative shots to show the kinetic energy of some of those cities with all the scooters there. Because there's so many scooters in the region. I want to get some shots there. I want to get some aerials of the rice paddies and some, you know, some on the ground stuff of like people working in the rice paddies and the yaks and all that. So, yeah. So I have a list. I have a list of things that I need to grab while I'm there. The last trip I'm looking at was the advanced, you know, sort of informational fact finding trip. This one is now full on, you know, we can come back with some amazing shots. So. Yeah, it's going to be good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So cool, man. So what's next for you? You said you're going to Romania and all over the place, India, all that. What else? What do you got lined up for 2017?
Yeah, 2017. So the first quarter, I typically will, you'll find me on the speaking circuit at a lot of the different travel shows, the travel and adventure shows, the New York Times travel show. Also, I've got a trip that I'm working on to go to Cuba. That'll be my 16th trip to Cuba. And then I've got...
And these trips are excursions, right? This is not just Ralph going to hang out. You're bringing people with you on these.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the India is a scouting trip, and I've got a couple other scouting trips for next year. But for the most part, I'm with a group. And so I'm doing Morocco, the Baltics, which is Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, Spain in June, Copper Canyon in August next year, which I just got back from. It's absolutely fabulous. I love it. And Romania, I'll be scouting Bulgaria, doing that India trip that I'm scouting for this year, for next year.
Yeah.
And then the doing Cambodia and the Christmas markets in next November, December. So a lot of great travel coming up.
You are an international man of mystery, Ralph Velasco. Flying around. I think you might need to get your own jet or something just so that, you know, you can make things easier.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. I like.
All right, man. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. So just for the viewers and listeners of this, as we record this, the Vietnam North to South trip that I'm leading in November, the late November, is not full yet. There's still a couple of spots left on that. So if you're interested in joining us, just go to, I set up a short link, twip.pro/Vietnam2016. That's twip.pro/Vietnam2016. That'll redirect you over to Ralph's site where you can get all the information on the trip and sign up and all that good stuff. And if you have any questions on it, just hit me up through the feedback form on the TWIP website, and I can fill you in and answer any questions you might have on it. But love to have you. There's two spots left, and they'll be gone before you know it. So.
You know, and that trip priced at $38.99 per person in double occupancy for 14 days includes almost everything except for your flight over. If you are in a single, you want your own room throughout, there's an extra $5.99 that you need to pay. But that trip is really well priced, and won't be that price next year. So if you have the time and can make a move on it, please contact us, and we'd be glad to get you all the information you need to make a decision.
Absolutely. Love to have you. And you can help me celebrate my birthday in Vietnam. So nice. That's going to be a blast. That is going to be a blast. I promise.
And we did that last year.
We did that last year. Yeah. Now I'm a year older and wiser. So, or a year older and, you know, or a year younger, you know, because I'm, you know, you get over the hill and you start sliding down. Good. All right, Ralph. Thanks a lot for doing this. I appreciate the time today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on. Good luck.
All right. Yeah. Take care, man. This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at FreshBooks.com/talks.